I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson, and I'm here with Paul Zollman, Role of Love. Paul, you've had a varied career. You've done a few different things, and now you are the founder of Role of Love. You have written an international best-selling book by the same name, and I'm so intrigued and interested to hear how you started your journey and what is the Role of Love?
Great question, Annika. Great to be with you today. I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. The Role of Love actually is a cube or a dice that I created that has the love languages on it. There you can see two hands put together, creating a heart. Then the conversation flow from that heart would be the words, the words from the heart. So that represents the love language for words. Another hand that holds an hourglass that represents time. A hand that looks like a waiter holding the platter that would represent service. Two hands that are touching one another that represents touch. The last one is a hand holding a gift, represents gifts. Those are the five love languages. So what happened, Annika, is that my background, I was raised in really kind of a very angry type family. I didn't know was angry until my sister-in-law kind of pronounced that curse or just iterated the curse that we had about 15 years ago.
Wow.
My first wife and I, we had eight children. And what I found is, Annika, is I was being annoyed, stacking these annoyances until I'd have that straw that broke the camel's back and I'd have this flash of anger. And I really wanted to overcome that. In fact, I made statements like, I don't want to be angry. That double negative statement only works in math. You multiply two negative numbers together and that creates a positive number. It absolutely was not working for me in relationships. And through the years, I've been in corporate America, been a CFO of a public company. But prior to that, I had a lot of other leaders along the way that were very kind and very nice. I wanted to be that kind of leader, but it just wasn't working for me. How do I get from where I was raised and what I knew from my parents? How do you get from that point to over to where they're loving, where they're kind? They've got that mindset to do that. That was the problem. So I've tried to work and create a solution for myself. And then once I found the solution in that cube that I just showed you, that it was almost like an overnight change. I thought that worked so well for me. Maybe it might work for someone else.
Yeah. Wow. From CFO to love language linguist to seemingly very disparate roles and careers in some way.
It's two different sides of the brain.
Yeah.
You know, here I am now on the right side of the brain working with all these emotions when I was working with all the numbers before. There are not very many people I know like me that actually work both sides of the brain. And the creative side is fun. It really is fun to find things that work. I think that a lot of business people, though, you'll find that they'll find something that works for them or they'll find a solution to a problem, as I found, and then they'll want to create it. And they have that creative juice in them. And it really is exciting. It's motivating to be able to wake up every day and say, what can I create today? Whose life can I change today with this? And that's kind of what motivates me to keep going with this.
Well, when we first jumped on, or even when I look over your website or your LinkedIn, you do come across as a very kind, calming energy, right? You don't come across as somebody who would have those issues with anger or just letting store things up. And I mean, I know we don't know each other yet, but I'm so intrigued by this process. everybody knows about the love languages, hopefully, if you're listening to this episode. And Paul just did a great job also going through them in a quick format. But we usually think about them as for our personal relationships, not for our professional relationships. So I'd love to hear how you took all this knowledge and study and had those aha moments to better your personal relationships, and then how you also realized they could be reflected in the world of business.
Great question. Thank you, Annika. And so from a personal relationship basis, what I found myself doing was kind of looking over the fence, looking at what other people were doing. Yeah. I said, why are you doing it that way? What's wrong with you? And that sort of thing. I was focusing on what their mistakes might have been, what their faults might have been, focusing on maybe 10 to 20% of that whole person's personality. Well, I was missing the 80 to 90% that was good. And I really, it just was like, oh, this is an epiphany. Why am I focusing on the negative parts of another person? And how's that going to work out for me later on? They're going to focus on my faults. Who wants that? Right. And I realized, oh, I got to stop that. You got to figure out how to replace that behavior. So you're absolutely right, Annika, that this is more for a romantic relationship. Dr. Chapman wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, and really is all about the romantic relationship. But I've taken that because it didn't really work for me. Coming from that angry culture that I came from, the romantic side didn't work at all for me. You mean, Dr. Chapman, if I guess what Annika's love language is and I cater to that, you're calling that love? Seriously? That sounds more like manipulation to me. It sounds more like this is what Annika wants to therefore deliver. What? Why do you call that love? It didn't sound like love to me. And so the second thing Dr. Chapman had was, well, if you take this survey, I can find out what my love language is. You know, I've been in marketing, I've been in corporate America. What am I supposed to do? Advertise? Hello, I should wear a little button that says, hello, I'm gifts. This is my Venmo QR code. Just send it on and just send it my way. That's all awkward, Annika. And it just wasn't working for me. So, and I'm a bad guesser. If I was to guess what people's love language is and try to cater to that, it wasn't working for me. Neither one of those ways worked for me. But I had a thought that, what if I contact Dr. Chapman and ask him if he's licensing those little icons? Because I remember as a child, even as dysfunctional as our family was, that playing games brought our family together. And there were still all the put-downs. There were still all talking over one another. There's still no boundaries. There's still locker room talk. It was just an aggressive competition, but games brought our family together. I thought, what if this could bring other people together and actually better relationships? And so thought maybe a game would work. So I contacted him and asked him if he was licensing those icons, and his attorney wrote back after a couple of weeks said, no, we're not doing that. So I had a friend in the neighborhood that where I live that was a copyright intellectual property attorney, and I went to him and he said this. He said, theory, like the love language theory, is not copyrightable.
Interesting.
Application is. So using it as a game wasn't something that Dr. Chapman was doing. So I felt appropriate that I'd make my own icons, since they weren't licensing what they had. I'd make my own and make it into a game, and that's how I came up with the cube. So I got the copyright on the cube in 2017, and as I'm rolling the die, actually, you know, probably ought to tell you how it started out. I started out with a 2.5 inch by 2 inch prototype. Really clunky. You can see it has really sharp edges. So when I'd hold what I wanted on top, I could just roll it. It'd go clunk, clunk, and it would just roll what I wanted every single day. It was like a weighted dice. And it was so easy to pick and choose what I wanted in the day. Wasn't working for exactly what I needed to work for. So I had to round off the corners. This is the first one. The second one, round off the corners. And then rolled that until I actually had all the artwork done. It took 2 years to get all the artwork done. And had all the artwork done. And then I went down to that 1 inch by 1 inch cube that I have right now. Sent the artwork off to a dice manufacturer and then was able to produce that. But all along, I'm rolling the die every single day. I'm learning all five love languages. The value of that, Annika, is tremendous. I had no idea it'd be so valuable to know all five love languages. Most people, according to Dr. Chapman, and I absolutely agree, will operate within their own love language or their primary or a secondary love language. They send it out in hopes that somebody's going to send it back. That's that reciprocity that they're looking for is a business transaction. You and I have both been in business. It's not, let's make a deal. This is our life. It's not a reality show. And so we got to stop making a transaction. So the whole idea is that we send it out without any regard of it ever coming back, make that investment, but trust the laws of the universe that were in place before you and I were ever born. The law of the harvest, karma, law of attraction, whatever you want to call it, it's the same law that basically whatever you send out is going to come back after many days. Don't expect it to come back right away. What you can be satisfied with, though, is that when people light up, you've discovered what their primary or a secondary love language is. No longer, Annika, do you have to say, excuse me, could we pause this relationship for just a moment while I have you take this survey so I know how to love you? You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
That's awkward anyway, and you just watch, you use your observation skills.
It's so unique and interesting because I think it is something we do. I know like there's a kid's version of the five love languages, so my daughter's taking it. You know, oftentimes if you're in the dating world, you'll use that and say, what is your love language? And love languages can change over time. And I think sometimes we do give or express love to people in ways that might not be our primary love language. And so it is complex. And so learning about all the different love languages and how what situation you're going to need to deal with people in or how you're going to need to approach them is it's an emotionally intelligent way to approach life that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about in that term. So you have the die and you roll it every day. So I would love to hear more about what is your process? Take us through, how do you use it to help learn about people?
So great question, Annika. So I set the theme for the day and by rolling the die at the beginning, it takes less than 2 seconds. That is a very small investment. We're talking about business here. You make an investment. Hopefully, you get a lot of return ROI for that investment that you make. This is one of those things that's almost guaranteed. Whatever you choose or whatever the dice chooses for you to practice that day, you're sending it out all day long. And what you're watching for is to light up people. When people light up, that's your discovery of their primary or secondary love language. For that person, you just take a mental note, oh, that's what they like. You just wash, rinse, repeat for that person. It's not like we're trying to put people in boxes like a survey might do that. Like, Annika, you have to eat tacos every day for the rest of your life. That's all I'm giving to you because I know you like tacos. It's not like that anymore. This provides a variety of love language you're sending out to everyone, everyone, not just your significant other. When I created this, I was single. And I said, who in the heck, Dr. Chapman, who in the heck am I supposed to love? I don't have anybody to love. Oh, I get to love everybody. For me, Annika, it was a godsend because I needed that consistency that loving everyone would give to me. Most people aren't with their significant other 24/7.
Right.
Some people to that will say, thank goodness. And some others will say, oh, I wish I was with them all the time. But, you know, for the most part, people need a break and they just need that little break apart for a little while. I was loving everyone and I needed that consistency to change the behavior. Instead of looking for what's wrong about that person, watch for what's right about that person. Focus on that 80 to 90% that's good about that person and then magnify that like a magnifying glass, magnify that. So that actually that enlarges. The good in that person actually grows bigger. Who would ever in their right mind focus on the faults of another person and try to make their faults bigger? Do you want that in your kids? Do you want that in your employees? Do you want to focus on the mistakes that they make to make those mistakes big as life? Nobody wants to do that. Focus on the right things that they're doing and then help them offer suggestions. And this is one of those boundaries that I did not learn when I was younger. Just offer suggestions, say, can I make a suggestion of how you might do that just a little bit better, that you might have better results of that. And you could offer that in a workplace. you can watch for these opportunities in a workplace. And this really brings the civility back to the workplace. No, it's not dog eat dog. Before I became a CFO of a public company, I worked at a loan servicing company. And my first job was to do bank reconciliations for the investors. I was given about 40 of those. And within 2 days, I had them all done. And I was asking all the employees around, now what do I do? What do I do now? Can I help you with something? I'm out of work. And then I thought I worked myself out of a job. And and those, the people around me were just amazed that I got all those bank reconciliations done just within a couple of days. So much so, I ended up in the vice president's office. It's like going to the principal's office. What's going to happen next? And not only was there one vice president, but actually two vice presidents there. They said they had a bigger project for me. Now I had a big bank reconciliation. They wrote 25,000 checks per month out of this one bank account. And they were 5 months behind on the reconciliation. Well, very quickly, Annika, I was able to realize that Excel that I was using for the bank reconciliation only allows 65,000 lines of data. 65,000. I had 125,000 lines of data just for the check register, and then I had to do all the reconciliation. It just wasn't working. I had to break the thing into pieces, and it took me 90 days to do the first reconciliation to get it right where it was. 15 days for the second, and then 4 days after that, and then 4 days per month. It was four full days, full time, 8 hours a day, doing one bank reconciliation. But I got it down to that point. Just because I learned how to just do that reconciliation. But in that process, I went to this vice president's office and was, I would just get turned around a minute. Which way am I reconciling? Is it to them or to us? Or us to them? And it just, I get turned around for a minute. I go ask him a question and I get my bearings back and then just be able to continue with that. He was so kind. And I just will always remember his name throughout my life for the kindness that he did. I wanted to be that kind of person. And I think it really works well in a business circumstance. This, we have to express love in that way. And when we do, it really makes for a productive business. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And that's such a change from what people usually think of when they think of business, right? You think it's competition.
Yeah.
Work, work, work. Work as much as you can. And you're really shifting this paradigm to know, let's be kind to each other. Let's show love to each other. And that is going to give us a higher return on investment, a higher reward at the end of the day, because we're treating people as if they are people.
And for the business, it's more productive. You imagine trying to discipline and do all the things that you have to do with hostilities within the workplace and try to get production out of people that are hostile to one another. I'm not going to do that for you. You know, I'm going to make this one-hour task last 8 hours. I'm not going to do any work that more than I have to just to get that paycheck. And it's just not intelligent attitudes that go around. And it's just, how's that going to help you? How's that going to help your employees? How's it going to help the business? Soon you'll be gone from there. And people don't quit businesses or they don't quit jobs. They quit other people. If the people are surrounding you, that you really like those people, you like working with them, they like working with you, that's the type of people, that's where you want to stay. That's customer retention at its very best. That's employee retention at its very best. It's customer service at its best. It's sales at its best, recognizing their love language and then helping them feel loved, whether they're a customer, whether they're an employee, whether they're a prospect that you're trying to sell to.
So what are some of the ways, because you have your book, now the die and the book come together in a package, or how does that work? Because that's one way people can get the information and the process.
So I do have it bundled on my website, the die and the book together, but you can also buy it separately. Also have a journal that I'm testing this in the school system, Annika. And so at the beginning of the day, they roll the die, takes less than 2 seconds. The teacher may take 30 to 40 seconds, 45 seconds to say, class, this is the type of behavior we're looking for today. I'm just testing it in K through 6, the younger grades right now. And at the end of the day, what I have them do is they need to write in the journal what they rolled, what opportunities they saw to love in that way, what they did about those opportunities. That actually becomes a love legacy journal for that first grader or that third grader. I would have absolutely loved to have a journal like that from my first grade teacher or from my first grade, so because I remember that teacher's name. I'm not sure why I remember that teacher's name so many years after the fact. I don't remember second, third, fourth, or fifth grade. I do remember sixth grade. But I just, those teachers, those mentors, so to speak, that you will remember the rest of your life because of their kindness. That's what we're trying to get to. Trying to get to those mentors. But the second thing that happens is, in addition to the journal for that child, knowing how they loved in their first grade, they're going to look 20 years down the road, say, wow, that was really cool. I forgot that I'd done that. And they'll be able to show their children what they did in first grade, and maybe their grandchildren, let's say, this is a really cool thing, a love journal. I would have loved to have a love journal from my mother or my grandmother. Instead, Annika, I got a journal about the weather. The weather 60 years ago. Who cares what the weather was like 60 years ago? I would have loved to know how they loved. But the second thing that happens in the classroom is now the child is responsible for their own behavior. It's not the teacher. It's not the principal. The child has to be responsible because now they have to report at the end of the day, how did they love? What did they do? The astute teacher at the very next day will read some very good stories that the children wrote on the previous day. Look what Johnny did yesterday. Look what Susie did yesterday. Encourage all the other children. This is the type of behavior we're looking for. Therefore, all these children now learn all five love languages. It builds a great foundation for being a decent person, being a loving person all throughout their life. We're trying to do that right now. Yeah. I think that needs to be done in the workplace too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And speaking of the workplace, do you go in and do workshops for teams and team building and do some of the same work? Maybe they don't get the journal yet because you're testing that for schools. But what does your work look like with people? Are you working more coaching individuals who want to learn these techniques?
At this point in time, I'm coaching individuals, but I'm open to looking at the workplace situation as well. Currently, I'm actually testing this in the business workplace with, I've got two or three or four businesses that I'm working with and just trying to see what are the nuances, what really can you even say love in the workplace? I mean, it's kind of one of those words that, no, don't even talk about that. It's like sexual harassment or something like that. But it's not even that. This is decency we're talking about. And that kind of love is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the romantic love at all. We're talking about decency. And on that point, Annika, what this does for you, these are the basics. These are the stair steps. Just as I had stair steps of annoyance, annoyance, annoyance that got me to that flash of anger, these are stair steps of kindness on top of kindness, on top of kindness, on top of kindness that get you to the higher laws of love, like charity or compassion or intimacy or forgiveness or mercy or sympathy or empathy. Those are higher laws of love. These are the basics. Yeah. Use these love languages as stair steps to get there.
Well,
and how did it change your life and your relationship with your kids, with your now ex-wife, and then also in the business world?
Well, I think I had actually an ex-wife that wanted to come back, and I was already dating someone, and maybe she just was having FOMO or something like that. I don't know why she wanted to come back in that way, but obviously there was a change. I could see the change, and hopefully they saw the changes. I don't have all their opinions, Annika, to be able to tell you how they feel about it right now, but I know that my relationships actually are a whole lot better with my children. And a whole lot better with, you know, I actually have two ex-wives now. So I'm to the point that I can have what I call a favorite ex-wife. I can call one a favorite if I want to.
Oh, it sounds like it made a huge shift for you. And it became your business as well. So this is what you've been doing for the past 9 years?
I've been doing it as an avocation, more as maybe a social experiment would be a really good thing. And I think it's worked out really, really well. This really changes people's lives. If they have the desire to change, this will help. You have tools for the mechanic. You have tools for the carpenter. You have tools like that for all the trades. There weren't very many tools for loving. This is a very simple tool that could set the tone, set the purpose for each day. This is how I'm going to love all day today. You'll notice that on the cube, they're all pictures. What pictures do for most people, they provide that visual, but it's a memory hook, something that will grab their mind and they'll be able to latch on to it. What did I roll this morning? If there were words on it, it'd be easy to say, I don't even remember what the words were. Because if I say the word elephant, you're not seeing in your mind E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T. You're seeing the animal. This is the kind of memory that I really needed for myself. But I think other people use memory hooks in that way as well. I went to Japan for a couple of years to learn Japanese, and I needed those memory hooks. Otherwise, it would be very, very difficult to learn a foreign language like that with all the kanji. The writings that they have are just completely foreign to the Romaji or the Roman writing that we have right now in English.
Right.
And so to do that, I had to make that looks like water, and it had the little sprinkles on the side. Anything on with the sprinkles on the side for the kanji had water associated with it. So I had to make those memory hook associations like that. It was all pictures. That's what we're trying to do here. Make that memory association so that you remember to love all day long, all day, every day, to everyone.
Mm. Yeah. And could you tell us, let's get into the business side in terms of marketing your product and your book. Well, how has that been for you? What are some of the ways that you found have been successful for you to talk about and broach this subject, whether in schools or in business or people personally, and build up your audiences?
Great question, Annika. And for me, I think podcasting really has been the very best marketing that I've been able to do. Just talking with people like yourself to get the word out to your contacts, and this podcast will go to my contacts. It's a different little context for each podcast I've done. I'm up to a couple hundred podcasts that have been guested on. Thank you. And it's just been a great experience in that way. The thing about a podcast, it stays out there for a period of time. It's a book on the shelf, so to speak, that people can pull off the shelf at any point in time. I want to learn a little bit different way to practice the love languages and insert the principles of the love languages into my life. Will it change my life? Absolutely. There's a lot of data that shows that I've been able to collect that shows that this actually will change your life by learning all the love languages and being able to stay in your lane. This is something that I really had a profound epiphany about, that I can't really choose anything of what that other person was doing in their life. So it was such a relief that I don't have to be in charge of that person. I was getting annoyed because I thought I had to be in charge from that angry culture that I came from. I thought I had, because there are no boundaries that I was taught growing up, that I had to be responsible for that person and their choices too. What a relief not to know that I'm not in charge of them. I'm in charge of what I send out. And that's the only thing I have control over is sending love out and responding when it comes my way. I can't bid people to love me. How's that work when I tell somebody what my love language is and they don't do it? Well, I told you how to love me. Why aren't you doing it? And you get to that pity party that is totally... You don't have to even go there. The whole idea is that you can't sit at home and wait for love to come to you. You have to get out, walk down the street of your neighborhood and find someone that might be feeling a little lower than you are feeling. Raise them up. Help them have a better day. By doing that, there's great satisfaction for yourself by helping somebody make their day. And going about the wrong way, trying to make ourselves better than other people instead of watching for the good in other people. Watch for the good in other people and make their day by identifying it, help them understand the good that they have, and encourage them to continue on that path of good that they've already chosen.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you the most success. I think this is such an important topic, and I love the fact that you're starting with, you're not just focused on business or people's personal lives who are adults, but you're also really focused on children and the skills that they need to be better humans, you know, whether it's at home or at work or whatever they choose to do with their friend groups, and to reframe these conversations in the way that they look at the world. So thank you, Paul, for putting all that goodness out into the world. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next. And I wanted to ask if you have a favorite quote or family motto or verse, some words that you live by that you'd like to share with us today.
I do, Annika, and thank you for that. I actually love the classic, The Sound of Music. You know, it was done in the 60s, but it's still relevant today. And in that, it's a musical, but it's a kind of a love affair between a delivery boy, the messenger boy, rides his bike, and as he gets off his bike and he starts to sing, his name's Rolf. Rolf is singing to Maria Von Trapp. Maria's at the open window on the second story of the Von Trapp home. In the song that he sings to this particular scene of the movie, he says, "Love in the heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till it's given away." We need to give it away all day, every day.
Yeah. I can see why that is such an important phrase for you. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I will have rolloflove.com in the show notes as well for people to click through to learn more about your backstory, be able to find you on all the socials, find out how to order the book, The Die, or work with you. And, you know, we all need a little more love in our lives. There's so much that you can say that's negative going on in the world. But if you can make a difference in one person's life just by being kind, by figuring out what their love language is and giving them love where they need it, then the world will be a better place. So, Paul, thank you for making that your mission.
Absolutely. Thank you, Annika. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you. Let's just go light up the world.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
I love it. And thank you to the audience for listening to such an inspirational guest today, and Paul Zolman, Role of Love, roleoflove.com. And you can learn more about him there. And I'll be back again in a few days with another amazing expert to share their insights with you.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.